Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to MRSN, the Michigan Regional Sports Network.
It's time to enter the locker room. The Coach's Show of Michigan Admirals Minor League Football.
University of Michigan Flint.
Michigan Admirals football comes to MRSN and WTV10 this summer. Hard-hitting action from the United States Football Alliance is as close as your computer or television. Join the play-by-play team of Bill Schnorenberg and Jeff Decker for every play as the Admirals make a run at the 2009 USFA title. For schedule and ticket information, visit the Admirals website at www.michiganadmirals.com. Admirals football on MRSN and WTV10, where champions play.
Ain't no woman like the one I've got. Ain't no woman like the one I've got. Ain't no woman like the one I've got.
Every day the sun comes up around her. She can make the birds sing harmony. Every drop of rain is glad it found her. Heaven must have made her just for me. When she smiles so warm and tender, a sight for sore eyes to see.
Ooh. Ain't no woman like the one I've got.
University of Michigan Flint football is coming to the Michigan Regional Sports Network this fall. Join us on September 20 as the Flint version of the Maize and Blue faces the Miami Redhawks. Other scheduled games include Alma College, Wright State, and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Join us September 20 as UM Flint faces Miami live on the Michigan Regional Sports Network, your Maize and Blue radio network.
Paul's Pipe and Tobacco Shop, serving Flint for over 65 years with the largest selection of pipes in the state. Paul's also has a large selection of premium cigars and machine-made cigars. They even blend their own tobacco. Paul's also has accessories for pipes and a large selection of lottery. Opens from 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, Saturday 9 to 5, 647 Saginaw Street, downtown Flint. Call 810-235-0581. Paul's Pipe and Tobacco Shop, serving Flint for over 65 years at 647 South Saginaw Street.
How much do you think your gold is worth?
About $300. $250.
Genesee Valley Gold and Silver will give you $1,000. Know what your gold is really worth. For more immediate cash, come to Genesee Valley Gold and Silver in Flint, Owosso, and Lapeer.
Thank you.
You are listening to MRSN, the Michigan Regional Sports Network.
It's time to enter the locker room. The Coach's Show of Michigan Admirals Minor League Football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the locker room on Blog Talk Radio, the Michigan Regional Sports Network, and U.S. Sports Radio. I'm Coach Donald Matthews of the Michigan Admirals, along with Lon Turner and Bill Schnarrenberg, who are on the line with me. Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. I have a question. When you played the Rod Stewart, or was that the
That was me.
I thought I dialed the wrong number for a second. Hey, Rod Stewart?
Why not?
Oh, nothing wrong with it.
The old Rod Stewart, not the one that think he Frank Sinatra.
Oh, you mean the old Rod Stewart? Was he 60 when he recorded that? He's like 148 now?
Yeah.
Still looks like he's 60.
That's the guy we're talking about.
Yeah. Threw me for a loop. I was kind of like, okay.
I thought it might. There are.
I don't know if I'd ever admit playing Rod Stewart, though.
Hey, Rod Stewart. The old Rod Stewart was cool.
Old Rod Stewart's a bad boy, man.
Yeah. I'm fully up for that, but you know, like I said, the one that think he Frank Sinatra, and I know, no. We do have a lot to discuss tonight, and Coach T will be on a little later on. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have Andrew Hilliker, who is the Director of Media Relations for the football club at the University of Michigan, and he's going to talk about what's coming up for them, a very exciting time for them as they get ready to gear up for their first game, and really the first, the opening of athletics at the University of Michigan Flint. So, you know, it's a very exciting time for all of them, and we'll talk about how that came to be and what's coming up for them at the bottom of the hour, slated to be at the bottom of the hour. And like I said, we'll have Coach T on with his pearls of wisdom a little later on. You know, we've come to expect and really look forward to his little gems that he come up with every week. I know Bill does.
I think you just like having him on because he aggravates Bill.
Yeah. and you know, and if that happens, it's not all bad, right?
Anyway. It's kind of funny to listen to, though.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
Let's go ahead and start this bad boy off and get this out the way. Deceased or anything like that, but this is a question that bears asking. Okay, how drunk do you have to be for your 20-year-old wife to strangle the heck out of you?
You're claiming that you never slipped anything into his system. That's why he was so drunk. But then you're going to get me started like I did last week, so I'll be quiet.
Oh no! We'll let you talk because I feel that you didn't get it all out last week. And you better do it now before T get on.
Look, it all comes back every week where you got to give the bitch test. How many times do I have to explain it? Now the famous people have to come to me for help? There's Dr. Phil for the white people, the dumb white people who can't control their kids and aren't happy in their marriage, and then there's me to help everybody else with the bitch test. You don't mess with strippers, people. You know the bitches are crazy to take off their clothes in front of total strangers.
And
the only thing they're good for is to grind on you for your $20, to sit with you when you're lonely, and then to be gone when you're out of money.
They trying to work their way through college.
Right. You've been in the strip clubs in Flint. There are 45-year-old women in there that got their daughters working with them, too. This is how you do it, babe. This is how you spin around the pole.
In case people have been living under a rock, we're talking about a boxer, Arturo Gatti, who apparently his wife strangled him while he was asleep last week. Well, you know, like I said, you know, how drunk do you have to be to allow
that?
Let's
think about how dumb this woman is. I don't know. We can't even call her that. Let's think about how dumb this bitch is. If you go kill the guy and wait 10 hours and still be in the hotel room and let the cops come and get her, then she's a dumb bitch.
No, she ain't dumb. She's creepy.
She creepy, dumb, stupid, ignorant. Why would you sit there with your purse strap filled with blood, like, oh, my God. And I don't know why everyone's coming after me because I loved him. He probably told you the same thing most of these athletes are telling their women now. You're cut off. Go back to the club.
I know our fourth wheel here got something to say about that. I told him to get it all out of the system before you got on.
What were y'all talking about? Because I ain't hear the whole conversation. All I heard him say something about being cut off.
Oh, we were talking about Arturo Gatti, you know, and how his wife managed to strangle the heck out of him while he was asleep.
You know what? I didn't even read up on that, so I don't even know nothing about it, so I'm not going to comment on it. If I don't know, I don't say. Now, I'm not like Bill.
You know, the odd thing is, I used to work with a guy that happened to, where his girlfriend strangled him with a cable cord, with the cable that goes to the TV. I don't know if he was asleep or not, but she strangled him with a cable cord.
Well, he lived to tell about it, right?
No, she killed him.
Oh, she killed. How do you do that? I mean, you're strong. You're stronger.
Now he was a little dude. I mean, he was probably about but shorter.
A Sonny and Cher thing. Is that what you're saying?
Right, but what I understand, this woman was like Dale side. No offense, Dale.
So instead of sitting on him and killing him, she just decided to strangle him.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't know what I've never seen a picture of this woman, so I don't know her size. You know, Gatti was what, 130 some pounds.
Oh, she's not a big girl. She's thin. She was a stripper, so she hasn't perched out a bunch of kids like most strippers do. So,
okay. So we can assume, since she's a stripper, that you know, she doesn't have 4 or 5 chins.
Correct.
Okay. Although it could happen.
Eventually.
Well, maybe so, but you know, you still hate to see stuff like that happens, and it has been some crazy crap going on these last few weeks. I mean, crazy, crazy. Crazy with a K.
K and two Z's.
Yeah, K and two Z's. That kind of crazy. I'm telling you, you know, if it gets any crazier, you know, we may have to expand to 2 hours.
Y'all don't need to give Bill that much leeway, man. Just let Bill speak for 1 hour.
I'm trying. Look, I'm trying.
Hey, look, we need extra time because you like to talk.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, you need to talk.
Okay. I was so confused on that, Bill, because see, normally when we get on the air, you normally go off for about 15, 20 minutes. So I thought it was for you, but I'm saying to be corrected. I'm sorry.
because I have to correct you because you be saying some ignorant stuff sometimes, like LeBron James and other things. So it takes time to correct all your mess ups.
Oh, okay. All right. So we clear on what the story is today. That's good.
Yeah. I have to clarify. I have to establish recovery protocol.
Recovery protocol. That is a nice, nice gesture. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you doing your recovery thing for me. I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You know, you know what Bill sounds like? What was the character that Damon Wayans did? The prison guy in Living Color.
I don't think he actually had.
I would like to clarify. Excuse me, clarify.
I don't think he actually had a name. I know who you're talking about. I'd like to prestidigitate on the magistrate while we migrate. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Y'all,
I'm going to prolificate the ignorance.
Let me regurgitate my bowels.
I am going to castrate the extradition.
With no remorse. Just no remorse. doesn't even have a conscience about it. Oh, my. That's what makes internet radio so good. You know, you get somebody like Bill who really don't give a crap. I guess I take your word for it. I thought internet radio was good because, you know, more people could get involved. But if that's what you say, that's what you say. I'll go with that. Yeah, we'll have to go with that because, you know, there's no other way. Bill is Bill. You know, he gets his hate mail. You know, I think he really tries to be like internet radio Skip Bayless.
Oh, don't ever compare me to that ass. Don't ever compare me to that punk ass.
I thought you was wanting to be universally hated like he is.
No.
No?
Look, I know T's been off the air for like 4 years with us, so he's got like 4 years of catching up. So go ahead, T. You can have your time.
No, I was just saying, it's not nothing that you try to do, it's just natural, isn't it?
Hey, everyone should know that once I get started, the off button's sometimes hard to find.
Okay. All right. Gets stuck. Yeah. It gets stuck is what he's trying to say. Gets stuck on him, yeah. Yeah. You know, and while we're on, you know, painful death, I think we probably should, you know, Lonshark. I know he's really, really upset over this, but we're going to have to do it anyway.
He lived in the jungle where he was born the king. His great strength made him lord of everything. Across his path and lived for long. His name, so legend tells us, was King Kong. His height was never measured, but was great. The jungle shook beneath his mighty weight. His arms were muscled, sturdy as a tree. His chest was thick and wide as it could be. Come on, me,
King Kong.
Come on, Kong.
It looks as though that Lion's favorite team, the Gridiron Gorillas, is on the endangered list. The Gorillas are on the endangered list. Didn't have a game last week. They had a bye week, but the telling thing will be this week. They're supposed to play the Arkansas Bone Crushers, another great name for a team, and it's supposed to be a home game. And if that game comes off, they come off the endangered list. If not, they're going to be extinct.
You know, it's funny that the two of the three teams that you talk about having unfortunate names, one is folded and the other one is in danger of folding.
It's, you know, it is a very tough environment for this kind of endeavor. It really is, because if you're dependent on sponsors to keep you afloat, you're in bad shape. And a lot of people are expecting these. And, you know, and they may have gotten them in the past, but when a big sponsor cuts you off like some of these teams have done, and I think it's probably the case for one of the teams in our league that has folded within the past week, when you're expecting big money sources and that sponsor reneges on you, which sponsors tend to do at times, you know, you're left high and dry and there's no recourse, you know? Enough of that, though. We'll see what happens with the Gorillas this weekend. Moving on now, getting to birthdays and this day in sports. This is, of course, brought to you as it is every week by Genesee Valley Gold, Diamond, and Silver, 3027 South Linden Road, just north of Genesee Valley Mall in Flint. Birthdays today, Don Clendenin, former New York Met, was born on this date in 1935. He passed away, I think, four or five years ago. See, now, this is back from my day. Archie Clark played with the, I remember Archie Clark playing with the Bullets, the Capitol Bullets, and he ended his career as a Detroit Piston. He's 68 years old today.
Joe Dubois is trying to trade him, too.
Yeah. We all remember Sammy Winder from the Denver Broncos. He's a pretty good running back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he turns 50 today. Today is also John Stallworth's birthday, Hall of Famer from the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people don't know he's a minority owner of the Steelers now.
Really?
He's got a small stake with them now.
Good for him.
Yep. He's 57 today. Alex Karras' birthday is today, the former Detroit Lion. They called him the Mad Duck, among other things. His teammates called him Tippy or Tippy Toes because of the way he hopped around when he rushed.
What's called him Daddy?
Yeah, that's true. He did go on to an acting career on television and in the movies. Everybody remembers him from Blazing Saddles. He's 74 years old today.
Wow.
And why isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
Did he play for the Lions?
Well, you know, the Lions weren't that bad back then, you know? Well, I don't get on the soapbox today. And also, the last birthday, Barry Melrose, a former NHL coach, and now he's an ESPN analyst for the National Hockey League. He did come back this year for a brief second. He got fired again, didn't he, Bill?
I think he coached 2 weeks.
Yeah, they really gave him a chance, huh?
Yeah.
53 today for Barry Melrose. On this date in history and sports, St. Louis's George Bradley in 1876 pitched baseball's very first no-hitter.
What was that like watching that, T?
I don't know, Bill. You let me know since you're just a tad bit older than me.
Ding, ding. Come on. Go to your neutral corner.
Oh, boy.
In 1973, Nolan Ryan became the first pitcher in two decades to win two no-hitters in a single season. The guy was a phenom. I mean, really. He was just a freak of nature. I saw him on TV last week. The Rangers were playing somebody. And, you know, outside of the ball head and the liver spots, he probably looked like he could still come out and throw 85. But he had a
where their pitching staff is, he may have to.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. He is. He's running the Rangers now, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. And finally, in 1985, baseball players voted on this date to strike on August 6th. They did go on strike, and the strike lasted one entire day. So that's the birthdays and this day in sports, brought to you by Genesee Valley Gold, Silver, and Diamonds, 3027 South Linden Road, just north of Genesee Valley Mall here in Flint. And you're listening to The Locker Room here on Blog Talk Radio, Michigan Regional Sports Network, and U.S. Sports Radio. I'm Donald Matthews, along with Bill Schnornberg, Lon Turner, and Mr. T, Terry Vaughn.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we got a few minutes before our guest is scheduled to come on. I have a nominee for Butthole of the Week. I would like to nominate Richard Jefferson as Butthole of the Week. Not because he cut off his wedding. You know, lots of people do that. But he cut off his wedding and didn't tell his guests that there was going to be no wedding. Yeah, exactly. You just sit there and just stare like, why?
I dare not ask the question as to why, because I really don't want to see him build into another one of his tirades.
No, he just didn't want to marry her. You might as well not marry the girl if you ain't sure, because it's going to save you a lot of money in the long run.
I get that. I'm with him on that. But why didn't you notify the guests?
I don't know, right. Why not man up? He probably scared of her daddy.
He probably scared of her. He sees what happened to Gotti. He sees what happened to Steve McNair. He's
like, this stuff happened to me.
You know,
he didn't show up at the church. She didn't show up at the church. The preacher didn't show up at the church. That was all set. They knew that. He broke that off. There was no wedding.
What would have been the first clue? When you walked up to the door and you pulled on it and it was locked? Oh, this is kind of peculiar.
He had friends he didn't tell.
Look, we all know that Richard Jefferson is not the brightest crayon in the box.
Okay. I really thought it was Bulb in the socket, but go ahead.
We get it.
Right, we get it. Go ahead.
You see, the edification of the clitoris is nullifying. Ain't that right, Bill?
Can you dig it, sucker?
I'm just trying to help you out, man. Just trying to help you out. How far is Allen Iverson falling in that the paper clips wanting?
The paper clips one. Wow. Well, I mean, I guess they figured can't do no worse. So
I got a team full of guys that don't play defense already, and you know, I know Iverson is gonna play defense, but at least he'll put some butts in the seats. Is that what
there
they
you
think?
Go. Probably something along those lines. I'll be thinking that if I was him.
It's just amazing, you know, guys like that. And Allen Iverson has had a great career for the most part. But when it goes south, it goes all the way south. We're talking about team sports like this.
Well, Coach, let's just be honest about it. His career has been okay. It hasn't been a great career. It's been a okay career. He hasn't, like, you know, I mean, he had his little stint where he got to the finals. He hasn't pulled off no championships. He's been to all the All-Star, or most of the All-Star games. I don't think he's made the All-Star team every year he's been in the league. But, you know, it's been an all right career. He hasn't been dominant and tearing up everything, but, you know, he's been all right.
He ain't no Hall of Famer?
No.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe Allen Iverson makes the Hall of Fame.
Oh my God. Why doesn't he make the Hall of Fame, T?
He's burned too many bridges. You have to not only in order to make the Hall of Fame, you have to not only be a great player, you have to be on and off the court solid. You can't be on the court solid and then off the court a mess. And I mean now Richard James.
Barkley.
Okay, so no, so you're saying that you're probably saying that why is Adrian Dantley in the Hall of Fame?
Adrian Dantley had a great career.
He burned bridges everywhere he went. If that's what you're basing, Iverson can't be in the Hall of Fame because he burned too many bridges. Then Adrian Dantley was traded 9 times. Do you think that those were all happy times?
You know, he was burning bridges everywhere he went, Bill. What I'm talking about is the way Allen Iverson carries himself off the court. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Let Ray Lewis get into some more trouble at the end of his career and see if he makes it. He won't. If he does make it, it'll be late. You know it just like I do.
And you know just like I do that when his career is over and he's eligible, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right, because he's not going to get in no more trouble coming out of here. He's not going to do that. He's smarter than that.
Charles Barkley burned his share of bridges.
Charles Barkley
burned his share of bridges. Hell, he threw people through plate glass
windows. Let's be honest about it. When it came to picking the people for the Dream Team, who was the first person they got?
Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan?
Barkley. No, Michael Jordan wasn't coming. Charles Barkley went and got Mike.
Well, Magic was first.
No, Magic wasn't first. It was Barkley. Barkley was the first one they got.
Barkley, you can't base the Hall of Fame on what you do. So you're saying the Hall of Fame should be based on you may score 50,000 points, but if you're not a nice person off the court or off the field, then you shouldn't be able to get in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say nice. I didn't say none of them was nice. Mike ain't nice. But the fact of the matter is he's at least not somebody that you just hate. I mean, most of the people just flat out hate Iverson. Most of the people that watch basketball can't stand Iverson. And these are the people that are his fans. The only people that really, really follow Iverson and really, really root for Iverson, 9 out of 10 are doing half the stupid crap that Iverson is doing. Let's just be honest about it. And people like that are not the ones that's voting people into the Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying.
We must continue this conversation after in a little bit before T has to go for sure. But I have to take a break right now. I gotta take a break.
Go ahead, take a break.
All right then. We're gonna pay a couple of bills and when we come back we'll have a guest on and more of the Mr. T show.
And Bill, behave yourself.
The Mr. T and Bill show. That's what we're gonna rename it. Stay with us, guys. We'll be right back on the Locker Room.
Okay.
How much do you think your gold is worth?
About $300, $250.
Genesee Valley Gold and Silver will give you $1,000. Know what your gold is really worth. For more immediate cash, come to Genesee Valley Gold and Silver in Flint, Owosso, and Lapeer.
Telly's Family Dining has 3 ways to serve you the best food in Flint. You can dine in, carry out, or go through the drive-thru. They're open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. with a $2.99 breakfast special every day and breakfast served till 11. They also have a full dinner and breakfast menu, which includes 6 different burgers, as well as sandwiches, Southwestern-style dishes, pitas, Italian and Greek specialties, plus seafood and 99-cent conies. Call 810-720-8110 or stop by at 3459 Miller Road in Flint.
Yeah, I got by there. I told Kenya to call you around 10.
Anyone can win on any given day. We hear this from every locker room. But when it comes to golf, it can be a little harder to achieve. The best and the brightest seem to dominate the leaderboards. But there is a place that celebrates the journeyman, where no lead is big enough, where moments of greatness can happen from anyone at any time. Welcome to the Buick Open. From the famous heartbreaker known as 11 to the raucous galleries of 17. Every drive, every putt, every amazing save becomes a testament to the love of the game. so let's cheer on our favorite players. But keep an eye on the journeymen, the ones that play every day because today might be the day. And to the Buick Open that lets the best man win, whoever he is. Because seeing the game played the way it was meant to is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Welcome back to the locker room. I'm Coach Donald Matthews along with Bill Schnorenberg, Lon Turner, and Coach T, Terry Vaughn, on the line with us right now. It's Andrew Hilliker, the Director of Media Relations for the football club at the University of Michigan Flint. Andrew, how are you doing tonight?
Better than I deserve. How about yourself?
That about sums it up. I couldn't put it any better ourselves here. We're going to ask you a few questions, get an overview of what you guys are up to, and go around and have other guys that are on the line ask you a question or two. First of all, just the big question, how did this all come about?
Well, our head coach and our club president, Randy Young, has been coaching at Grand Blanc and at Kersley for a few years, and he wanted to start some interest at U of M. So he decided that they'd try and start a football club. And so that's really how everything came to be.
Who can play?
Any students, as long as they are taking at least one credit hour, graduate, undergraduate, either one.
Bill?
When you got this plan together, what kind of timetable did you set of how you were going to build the program?
Well, we obviously want to be able to play this fall. We've got a decent amount of fundraising that we still have to do. We started everything back in February. So give ourselves a couple of months to get some money around so that we can all be ready to play in the fall.
What kind of numbers are you looking at so far on your team?
Well, we have right now at our non-mandatory practices, we've got anywhere from really 15 to 30. Just depends on the days. I mean, we're still battling with summer schedules. A lot of people are at work, on vacation, and even classes. We have a couple of guys who can't make it to practice. We're only practicing one day a week right now just because they have class. So yeah, anywhere from 15 up to I think 28 is the highest we've had, something like that.
Explain the league that you guys get in. Explain the concept to the people out there listening of what exactly club football is.
Well, we are we're a part of the Midwestern Club Football Conference. Really, the club football programs are designed for students who weren't able to make it to one of the big schools on scholarship or something, to give them an opportunity to play again, just to give everybody who couldn't play at that next level an opportunity to play at the next level.
Lon, T, you got a question?
Go ahead, Coach.
Well, my question is, okay, I know that football is a relatively expensive sport, and 9 out of 10 college students are pretty much poor. How are you guys handling the equipment issues and things of that nature that you guys are going to do?
Well, we are we're looking for local businesses in the Flint, Grand Blanc area. We're still working out the details and what exactly we're allowed to do. We want to make sure that everything is done according to code.
You're breaking up, Andrew.
Sorry, man.
Okay.
I live in Byron, and that's way out in the sticks, so it's perception. So,
what's your expectations for your first season? I don't know whether we're still there, Bill. Hello, Andrew. Yep, I lost him. We're going to have him call back in a couple of minutes, and hopefully we can finish this conversation with Andrew Hilliker of the University of Michigan Flint football program, and we're going to try to get him back on the line right now.
Yep.
Hey,
I got you, Andrew.
All righty. Had to move to a different part of the house.
All right. I was just asking, what are you guys' expectations for your first season?
Well, we want to win the conference. We don't think it's not doable. Take a lot of hard work, but that's our goal, is to win it all. I guess that's everybody's goal, really. But I think it's doable. We've got a lot of talent on the team right now.
What does it mean to you guys to have Ohio State, which has their first-year club program, also in the same league as you guys and playing them twice?
Well, we're hoping to start our own little rivalry, maybe. There's obviously a huge rivalry between Michigan and Ohio State, and we've gotten a lot of press on that to that point. In the Detroit Free Press, they had an article about us giving U of M another opportunity to beat Ohio State. I think it's going to be a lot of fun having that, and we aren't, it's obviously not the two varsity programs, but that doesn't mean that we can't come with the same intensity.
So you guys are going to be playing in Atwood Stadium, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I believe around 11,000.
Yeah. Bill, you got a question?
What is the size of your coaching staff, and can students who are incoming freshmen in the fall, how are they going to be able to get in and get a part of the program in August?
Well, so the first part, the coaching staff, we have three regular coaches. Our head coach, Randy Young, who helps with both offense and defense. Defensive coordinators, Anthony Willoughby. He's actually technically a freshman at U of M, but he's got enough credits to be higher up. He's changed his major a few times and stuff like that. But he'll be our defensive coordinator, and then Vince Lavelle, I think I said that right, Lavelle, is our offensive coordinator. He's been coaching for 21 seasons altogether at SVSU for a few years, the Saginaw Sting, Vassar, Houghton Lake, and up in Sault Ste. Marie even. Freshmen, really, right now with our practices, they can come out and participate. Want to make sure that everybody gets enrolled in the university, and then so that we don't have any people who aren't students playing. I wouldn't be happy. But yeah, they can start. They can start right now. We have practices on Tuesday nights from about 6:30 to 8:30. Right on the University of Michigan's campus, University of Michigan Flint. We want to make sure we get freshmen involved as soon as possible.
Coach T, you got any more questions?
Yeah, you kind of took my question, the statement, you know, about playing at Atwood. Was Atwood your first choice, or did you try to, you know, maybe play at a high school field and or something like that before you went to Atwood?
Atwood actually was one of our first choices because it's right in the middle of Flint. Everyone has, and it's not hard to get to. And we want to bring back to the community a spark. That's really one of the big focuses that we've had as our club team. We want to make sure that we want to give the community an opportunity to do something on Saturday afternoon so that we can, Flint's hurting right now. We want to bring a spark back into the community and give something back to the community. So we all have something to do Saturday afternoon and enjoy some football.
What's the long-term goals for you guys? Where do you guys want to be in 5 to 10 years?
Well, we want to continue. We're going to continue as a club team as long as we're able to. We'd like to be able to, if the university decides to step up into maybe a D3 or a lower conference school like that, we'd love to be able to join them as a varsity sport. We aren't sure exactly how that's playing out right now. The university's had a few talks about their doing something like that. I really don't have all of the information on that to even be able to begin to touch on that. So far as I know, we're gonna be a club team as long as the university will keep us.
If you have anybody out there that's listening tonight that's incoming freshman at U of M Flint and might be interested in doing that, you give some contact info and who to call and,
sure.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. We've got Randy Young is the head coach. His email address is randally, randally, at umflint.edu. He's really the one who handles most of the recruiting and things like that. All the information is really on our website. www.um-flintfootballclub.com. So that's really where most of the information is. You'll be able to find everything there.
All right. You know, we're really happy to be able to do for your games this year, starting September 20th against Miami. Those of you that are listening tonight, you know, keep track on our website, mrsn.us. We'll have the games that we'll be doing on the web page, and when times come out, we'll be able to put that on the web page also.
Cool.
One last question for you, Andrew,
sure.
And this relates to what you were talking about earlier about intercollegiate athletics, maybe
mm-hmm.
down the road for U of M Flint.
Right.
How do you think that what you guys are doing right now? How do you think that will help? In that push to get intercollegiate athletics at U of M Flint?
Well, it really, one of the biggest things is it shows interest in wanting to move up, to step up as the university, to be able to have the opportunity to play other schools, to step into that role as not just a smaller local college, but to be able to step up and be able to compete at that level. And that, I think, will also bring a lot of students to the university. It'll help the university bring in numbers because they have that to offer. So that's really, it's showing the university we have that interest. We really want to step up, and we want to play in not just football, but in every other sport. We want to be able to compete against other schools, just to have that extra addition to the college experience.
All right. That's you got any more questions, Bill?
I'm good.
All right. Andrew, thanks for taking time to chat about U of M Flint Club football. We look forward to seeing you guys this fall on the Michigan Regional Sports Network.
All righty. Not a problem. Thank you for having me. And thanks
all right,
for broadcasting
thank
the game. All righty.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right, that was Andrew Hilliker, the Director of Media Relations for the Football Club at the University of Michigan Flint. First home game will be broadcast by the Michigan Regional Sports Network. It'll be a historic game for that university, and we'll be there September 20th at Atwood Stadium, time to be determined, against Miami of Ohio. And we'll do... I think three other games. We'll be doing the home and away game against Ohio State, so that also should be pretty exciting for them and for us. We're going to take another little break here. When we come back, we're going to talk Admirals football, talk about Mr. Broach's monster game last week, take a look at what happened in the league last week and what's upcoming this week. So stick around with us. You're listening to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio, the Michigan Regional Sports Network, and U.S. Sports Radio.
University of Michigan Flint football is coming to the Michigan Regional Sports Network this fall. Join us on September 20 as the Flint version of the Maize and Blue faces the Miami Redhawks. Other scheduled games include Alma College, Wright State, and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Join us September 20 as UM Flint faces Miami live on the Michigan Regional Sports Network, your Maize and Blue radio network.
Bullpen Sports in Burton is the one-stop shop for the spring sports enthusiast. Whether you play baseball or softball, Bullpen Sports in Burton has the largest selection of equipment, including aluminum and wooden bats and uniforms. And now, Bullpen Sports is open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 3 to 8, Saturday, 10 to 8, and Sunday from noon to 6. Bullpen Sports can also special order equipment as well. Individual and team workouts are available at 1375 East Bristol Road in Burton. Call 810-742-8820 to set up your appointment today. Bullpen Sports in Burton, now open 7 days a week.
This is Walter Jackson, outside linebacker of the Michigan Admirals, and you're listening to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen,
protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight.
Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Protocol has been established. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Yes, I do.
Protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
You know!
Welcome back to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio, the Michigan Regional Sports Network, and U.S. Sports Radio. Donald Matthews, Bill Schnorenberg, and Lon Turner with you. Coach T had to go. He had another appointment at 10 o'clock, so he had to jet out for the night. So Bill is relieved.
Hey, before we get into Admirals football.
Yes, sir.
If anybody's headed to or from Detroit on 75, apparently there was a tanker explosion at the 9 mile overpass, and the overpass is gone now. So
okay.
Anybody going to or from on 75, don't even think about going that way. All right.
Yeah,
this traffic report brought to you by Truck Turner. High above the action, it's Truck Turner on the Michigan Regional Sports Network. I'm going to do you high above the scene here, and I'm telling you that the chopper is not close enough to the explosion, but the bridge is gone.
Pretty much, yeah.
We ought to make that a regular thing on our program. Here's a traffic update from Truck Turner.
And you know what?
Sound effects and everything, you know, like, you know, screaming people, cars hitting each other, stuff like that.
You know what that traffic report would be every week unless something like this happens? Hey, man, people driving. That's all I got.
Y'all be careful out there.
They're driving.
It's all good. Y'all be careful out there. You know, Andre Broach. He's special, and I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in a very good way. Most people have a game like Andre had maybe once in their football life. If you're lucky, once in your football life. He's had two this season.
Yeah, I don't think he's all that impressive.
You know, so... We gotta keep him humble, though.
I don't think he's all that impressive,
but he is a very humble young man. Not saying he don't run his mouth, you know, with Bill all the time, but you know, but Bill kind of forces you to retaliate like that, you know.
Yeah,
I do my best.
332 yards rushing last week on 29 carries, 3 touchdowns, including a 98-yarder where I swear to God, nobody touched him going straight up the middle.
You know, that to me, that's one of the many bright spots about just being involved with the Admirals is watching Coop run. Because there are so many times where you think, oh, okay, he's tackled. Why is he still running? He's still running. Oh, that's six. It's just crazy to watch sometimes because there's so many times where you think he's down. There's no way I seen Coop going to a pile with five foreign jerseys, disappear for about 2 seconds, and then pop out the other side and break for a touchdown. I don't know how he does it. People ask what planet he's from, what he's made out of, what he eats. I don't know. If I did know, we ain't telling y'all.
It's when he gets into a zone like that, man. It really doesn't take a whole lot of blocking for him to do what he does. And it's like you said, he gets in those moments where he refuses to go down. And as much as I like the 98-yard touchdown, and that was the longest touchdown run in team history. He said a lot of firsts on Saturday. But my favorite touchdown was the kickoff return because I thought he was hauled down twice and cornered once, and he broke out all of them, and next thing you know, he's in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a pleasure to watch Coop run because every time Coop touches the ball, every touch, you just got the feeling that any time something big, it's almost like watching Barry back in the day. You know, okay, he might get caught behind the line for a 2-yard loss. He might, but any given play, he might bounce and get you 60, 70, 80, or 98 yards.
I wanted to ask this from your perspective, Bill, because you're high above everything, got the best seat in the house. You know, what is it like to watch Andre Brooks run from your perspective, A, and second of all, being able to listen to the people below you talk about it? And it just seems like every time he touched the ball Saturday, everybody in the stadium held their breath.
Well, I can tell you on the 98-yard run, nobody touched him. On the kickoff return, I just found it funny because the crowd really got into it, the people that were there, and the whole bench for the Lions was into it. When he got to the outside, when he got to the 50, as you know how the cloud, as shadows go across the field, and like maybe a wave comes in the ocean, that's how the silence reached from right to left of the stands. Because people are like, what?
And that was the kickoff right after they had tied the game.
Yep. And they had all the bench whooping and hollering, and everyone's like, this is what I'm talking about. We got them now. Heard people in the stands going, finally going to get a win, and all of a sudden, there he goes. And then the better one was the 68-yarder with 3 minutes left to go when everybody was like in the stands screaming, we need a stop, we need a stop, we get a stop here. And also you hear, oh, damn, there he goes again. And really, with the next to last drive, when you had the ball, when you're trying to route the clock, on third down, he ran to the right, cut back, and he got grabbed from behind and slowed up enough where other people were able to come in and make the tackle. He breaks that tackle, there's nobody out there. He would have been gone again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and the thing about it is, he did that. That 332, he did that missing two starting offensive linemen.
All right.
You know, and, you know, not taking anything away from the guys that stepped up Saturday. And I told them all, I said, you guys stepped up, you answered the call. You know, guys that don't normally play O-line or haven't, you know, gotten much clock this year, but they stepped up. I mean, like you said, they did enough to where Coop could just go out there and beat Coop. And it's just, he ain't that impressive.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, in this day and age, you know, everyone's mentality, whether it be people on the line now or people listening or whatever, you want to throw the football. You want to be able to throw the football all over the field. But the thing that cracks me up is people get mad. Well, why don't you throw the football? Why don't you do this? Why do you want to be one-dimensional? When the guy's running and nobody's touching him, why would you want to pass? if you have third and 11 and you could run a toss or a stretch play or a delayed draw and get 17 yards, why would you want to throw the ball?
To a receiver that probably wouldn't catch it anyway.
But I'm just saying, people are like, well, it's about what can you do to win the football game, and whether it be if you can throw the football 60 times to win or run the ball 22 times or 29 times and get 330 yards, you're going to win.
Here's the thing, Bill. You know, you game plan for a different opponent a different way every week. What we did against Lapeer is not necessarily what we're going to do against Motor City or against Ohio or any of the other teams that we play later on this year. That was the game plan that we thought would beat Lapeer County. And we were right. That was last week. This is this week, you know. And, you know, just to end on a note about Andre, earlier this year he said the United States Football Alliance record for total yards, what was it, 460-something?
468.
Had 477, so he broke his own record that he said earlier this year, last month, in fact, with a 477, 332 of it rushing. And, you know, to answer those critics, once again, you know, we thought we could run the football on Lapeer County. So that was our game plan. We were going to saddle up Andre, and we were going to go. And this week, we most likely are going to have to put the ball in the air a little more than we did last week. But we did what we had to do to get the win, and that's the object of the game, the win of the game. You know, it's not necessarily pretty all the time, but you do what you got to do to win the game. Can't say it any more clear than that, right?
Crystal.
Let's take a look around the USFA right now. That's brought to you by Telly's Family Dining in Coney Island on Miller Road, on the opposite side of Great Lakes Motorsports in Flint Township. Come eat with the Admirals after every home game at Telly's Family Dining. Last week's scores in the USFA, well, it was a great game. The West Michigan Force defeated the Grand Rapids Thunder 38-31. I think coming from two touchdowns behind, I believe, or one touchdown behind in the final seconds to win that game.
From what I understand, they put up 28 in the fourth quarter. And I don't know how much of that was in the last. I know they scored at least once in the last 2 minutes, but I'm not sure, you know, the whole box score on it. But
well, you know what? Let me say this about the fourth and about one player in particular. Jason Tokar is just one. He's just like old man River. He keeps rolling along. You know, he's got to be around 40 now, but he can still throw the football around and he still can lead. And those kinds of players at this level do not come along very often, and you know, and the Force is lucky to have somebody like him that you know can take control like that. Him and Robert Hunt for the Seminoles, it's them two in the state of Michigan at the quarterback position, and then everybody else. I agree.
I mean, just from what I've heard of Phil Tokar, He's like you said, like Rob Hunt. He's legendary. It's like Coach T was saying about, you know, certain players, they're winners. They, like you were saying about yesterday about being all, like Coach T said about being All American. All Americans take their teams to victories and hopefully to championships. And that's what those two guys are at that quarterback spot. I mean, as far as I've heard, there's not too many better than either one of those guys.
Continuing on with scores from last week, of course, in our score, the Admirals defeated the Lapeer County Lions 28-14. The Detroit Ravens over the Metro Detroit Wolverines 38-20. The Michigan Gators got back on the winning track. They had a bit of a losing streak also, defeating the Motor City Soldiers 46-13. The Lima Warriors with a 50-0 victory over the Battle Creek Blaze. The Northwest Ohio Knights defeated the Northwest Ohio Raiders 54-27. Columbus War Eagles over the Ohio Outlaws 14-7. Miami Valley over Southern Ohio 57-14. Mount Carmel, who's had a very good season, defeated the Tri-State Sharks 36-19. Kentucky over Kentucky, Ohio, 21-16. Lockport over North Coast, 35-15. West Virginia Gladiators over Nickel City, 33-13. New York State over Western PA, 24-14. Lackawanna over Akron, 50-7. Cleveland over Mountain State, 23-0. The West Virginia Lightning had a 2-0 forfeit victory over the Ohio Red Bulls, who are apparently done in the USFA for this year. And the Pittsburgh Pride in the Cerrito-Canova crash, that game ended up being a no contest because of a weather situation that occurred in the first half, the very inclement weather in West Virginia, and they weren't able to get the halftime, and the league rule says that if a game is called by the referees because of weather before halftime, it is a no game.
So are the Red Bulls done? Because I've heard differing stories about the owner decided that they were done and somebody else took up the ownership reins and said they were going to finish out the season. And
as far as I know, with the Red Bulls, they're done. Because I believe it's Lackawanna they're supposed to play this week, and they're trying feverishly to fill that slot for Saturday.
Yeah, I don't.
Good luck to that. You know, at this late date.
Yeah, from what I've seen of Lackawanna, I don't think the Red Bulls want to go play the Dynasty or as nasty as they call them.
Looking ahead this week, this is I believe week 7 in the USFA. Grand Rapids is at Lima. That should be a great game. That's a replay of last year's, I think it was the conference championship, or was it the semifinals?
Semifinals. It was, the semifinals.
Okay.
Semifinals.
Where Grand Rapids upset Lima last year during the playoffs. Lapeer County is at the Michigan Gators. The Ravens, Detroit Ravens, is at the Northwest Ohio Knights. Battle Creek is on the road again. This time they are traveling south of Lima, going to Kenton to play the Ohio Outlaws. Mount Carmel is at the Northwest Ohio Raiders. Miami Valley is at Kentucky, Ohio. Columbus is at the Kentucky Wolverines. Southern Ohio is at Tri-State. Lockport is at Pittsburgh. New York State is at the West Virginia Gladiators. Lackawanna, if they can't get a game, they'll have a bye this week. The CB Crash is at Cleveland. North Coast is at Nickel City. Mountain State is at Akron. Western PA is at the West Virginia Lightning. And we, the Michigan Admirals, will be on the road this Saturday down in Royal Oak to face the Motor City Soldiers. The Genesee Valley Gold, Silver, and Diamonds pregame show will be at 6:45 p.m. on Saturday night here on the Michigan Regional Sports Network, with kickoff slated at 7 o'clock from Royal Oak High School down in suburban Detroit.
Party at Ricky Sykes' house after the game.
That's what I hear. He's like 5-10 minutes away. If we don't go to Ricky's house, we're gonna go to Geronimo's house.
Okay, there we go.
All right, or as Bill says, Ricky Sykes.
Not a name you should say like Ricky Sykes.
You know what? You can't. You can't just say the first name or the last name. You got to say the whole name with Rick.
Right.
Hey, Ricky Sykes. you just got to do it. You just got to do it. Lon, let me get your impression on since you're the line coach, get your impression on what they elaborate a little bit. You talked a little bit about it earlier. The job that the offensive line did last week, especially missing a couple of your key components, missing Kyle Hopkins and missing John Curtis, and those were your kind of your bookend tackles, and putting together a line that did what they were able to do on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, missing, you know, at this level of football, everybody knows that life gets in the way. You got to work, you know, you have family, you know, things that you have to take care of. Sometimes you can't make a game. You know, missing John Curtis is huge on both sides of the ball, honestly, but especially at that left tackle spot. Because John, he's my veteran, he's my rock. He's the guy that, you know, I know I can depend on the field and on the sidelines. You know, Kyle, you know, Kyle, I think, surprises a lot of people. And he's turned into a pretty good tackle, even though he tries to go back to guard every now and then. But he's turned into a good tackle, you know, for the limited practice time that he gets because he lives in Lansing. So missing both those guys had me – I didn't – you know, everybody thinks I shaved my head this week. I actually pulled my hair out because I was just – I was a mess. I didn't know what I was going to do. But, you know, Hugh, Quandrell Davis – and Dale Zukowski, you know, those two guys who – Dale doesn't get a lot of playing time, you know, and Q was kind of struggling on the O-line and ended up, you know, eventually going over to play nose. But those two guys stepped in at the guard spots. You know, we slid Boom out to tackle. Boom has played every position on that line this year. He's played center, he's played guard, he's played tackle, and sometimes in consecutive weeks. And, you know, and Tim Bartlett, who is, you know, he's our newest guy, center, and he's just a little, he doesn't care. He'll bang heads with anybody. He's kind of got that same mentality as Walter Jackson, where, you know, okay, yeah, you're bigger than me, but I'm still going to, you know, I'm going to get in your chest, and, you know, you might throw me around a little bit, but you're going to know I was there. And, you know, and Brandon Jackson, who slid over from guard to tackle, and Brandon's just a, you know, he's just a football player. I mean, he's a good athlete. He listens. He learns. You know, you explain. So he's got a high football IQ, you know, having played in college and everything. But those five guys, you know, I told them, I pulled them to the side right after Lapeer County scored and tied the game up. I said, look, I said, the defense is not going to hold us up all game because the defense had a great game. You know, with the exception of two hiccups that led to touchdowns. I said, the defense is not going to hold us up all game. The offense has got to get going. It starts with you five. Y'all got to step up and let the offense run through you. And they answered the call. They stepped up. And those boys, they played their butts off. And I tipped my hat to each and every one of them. I went up to each and every one of them after the game and let them know how much I appreciate them. Just the effort, you know. And going out there and just leaving it all on the field. And to talk especially about Q, who, you know, I'm not going to put all his business out there when he got, you know, when he originally went down. But, you know, he thought his ankle was broken to the point where he got carted off the field. He went, Lapeer County's trainer, which, you know, I appreciate her for, you know, looking out for quote-unquote an enemy. She, you know, went, she checked on him, and, you know, he come back walking across the field with ice on it, and he looked at me and said, if I strap up, can I play? I said, well, if you think you can, go ahead. You're a grown man. I can't tell you not to. I said, but if it comes to the point where you're a detriment to where you're hurting, where you're not doing what you're supposed to do and it's hurting the team, you're coming back over here. And he went out there, and he stepped up. And that was the game. And I told him this. That was the game I've been waiting for him to have all year, to where it finally all clicked, to where everything that we've been telling him and pounding in his head, it all clicked. And he went out there and he held that guard spot down. And he filled the shoes of the last person that wore number 71. Not all the way filled them. They was about three quarters full.
I forget who wore 71 before.
I don't know, some big ball-headed dude that broke his leg.
Flipping it over on the defensive side of the ball, we're going to bring Billy back into the conversation. Tell me a little about what you thought of the play of Eric Jenkins on Saturday.
Well, as we talked, and since, you know, I'm more professional build this year, I think if I was giving out nicknames like I do every year, he would be Bobby Boucher, our water boy. He is somebody who, if you looked at him and he walked out there, you'd be like, this guy is not a football player. But as soon as the ball is snapped, he will find the football and wreck whoever has the ball.
It's football at its essence, I think. He brings football back to its essence. You know, ball snap, I come through, I find the ball, I get the ball.
You get the usual guys who are stepping up on offense, but I thought him and Dan Yaklin, I thought Jason Michener, Elijah Marshall, Mike Thomas, and Krishan Verdun had their best games. They had their usual slip-up, as we do every game, but I thought the defensive backs had their best game all season, and I thought just the play of Eric Jenkins and Dan Yaklin, they both played well on defense, and then Sean Owoski, of course, making his first appearance, almost got his first sack. So, I mean, that's, you know, just the usual MO from him. But I thought for the first three quarters they played well. The third quarter, I mean, everyone just kind of did not match the intensity of Lapeer County. But then the fourth quarter, that's the best they've played since May.
I agree with that 100%. I told them that at practice yesterday, that fourth quarter was lights out defense. They got the Lions got nothing in the fourth quarter, and that was the most aggressive that I've seen them since the Tri-City game, and that is what I've been looking for all season. I knew they had it in them, and I think they're finally understanding. You know, we got a lot of youngsters out there. They're finally understanding what we're asking of them defensively. And they're doing it without thinking. And you can't really think too much in this game. If you got to think before you do, you're usually going to miss the boat. And you know, and we missed a lot of boats this season. But you know, hopefully, you know, we'll go out there Saturday against the Soldiers and put together that same kind of effort. And play 60 minutes, and if we do that, you know, we'll definitely be in the ball game and have an opportunity to win it in the end.
I really did think that for once, instead of those guys going out there and thinking before they reacted to the ball instead of thinking, going, okay, I got to be here, they just went and played.
Yeah. It was gratifying to see, you know, all the way around, and you know, but it's just one game. You know, we gotta establish in these last few games, establish a level of consistency that we really haven't been able to play with all year. We would go up and down in terms of intensity levels during a quarter. I mean, hell, during a drive, you know, it'd be varying levels of intensity. And, you know, that's just not the way to play football. And the way we play football in the fourth quarter Saturday was the way we should have been playing all year. And if we had did that earlier, we would have a better overall result right now, I think.
I agree.
Like you say, I can agree with you 100% on that.
1,000%.
306%.
Man, I'm just about out of stuff to say.
How many? And another thing with the defense, how many turnovers were forced?
You know what? We recovered maybe three fumbles, Bill?
Three fumbles.
We had two fumble recoveries and an interception, and I believe two interceptions, two fumble recoveries, and we had two more sacks due to go allow because I guess some officials think that when you get tackled and lay sit on your butt on top of a defender, that's not a sack. So
it was some interesting calls Saturday. and I will leave it at that.
And it's like I said, and I got the stink eye from the referee on our side when I said, that's what you get when you use high school officials. And he looked at me, he gave me the dirtiest look in the world, and if he had said something, I would have pointed out that, okay, one of the guys on your crew has an MSHAA patch on his shirt. So I'm not saying...
You know, a couple of them are familiar to me. They were out there, they were familiar to me, but there's a couple of other guys. You know, like you said, had the MHSAA... insignia on their shirt, you know, and high school referees, you know, they do a competent job for their level, but this level of football is a much faster level than high school football. And if you're used to refereeing high school football games, you're going to miss a lot because you're not going to be in position to see things, first of all. And second of all, you're not going to be used to the difference between refereeing by professional rules as opposed to high school rules. And I think that's where a lot of these referees have their problems, is that they either will approach it like a high school game, or they would like have some kind of hybrid meshing of the rules here, where it's partly professional, partly college, partly high school, and you know, and that messes things up too. But you know, when all is said and done, though, it's not a heck of a lot you can do about the officiating.
No,
and I've seen it a lot worse. Believe
well,
me.
Well, I will say this: we may have had it bad Saturday. But when you get 280 yards of penalties calling you and you still win by 18 like London did, that just goes to tell you all you need to know.
There's no such thing as an uncatchable ball. That's funny. You know, but it's like I said, you know, if as a team, if you don't put yourself in a position for the officials to affect the outcome of the game, whether you win or lose, then they can't. And that's proved point in fact, case in fact, by London. You know, they didn't put themselves in a position where the officials could take the game away from them and they lost the game. They overcame 280 yards of penalties and still won by double digits. So a good team does not put itself in a position to let the referees determine the outcome.
I couldn't agree with that more. And, you know, which brings up another point before we leave tonight. You know, we were fortunate enough and lucky enough after we got back from Otisville to be able to hook up with the London Silverbacks, who played another local team here in town. Congratulations on the victory, Silverbacks. And we got to talk to Coach Alan Lazar, Jason Kennedy, and his guys, and renew old acquaintances. The Silverbacks, you know, I can't say enough about the organization, about the players, about the coaching staff. They were always a team when we played them. I mean, it wasn't nice when it was on the field. It was a football game. But once the clock reached triple zeros, it was all good. You know, we were comrades, you know, so to speak. And, you know, a few weeks ago when the Silverbacks had the accident down in Indiana that garnered so much attention around the country, it was like somebody kicked me in the gut. And you know, we're so happy to see everybody's doing okay, especially Bev. You know, she's eating for two now, and you know, she was working on that on Saturday night. Just kidding. But, you know, I'm happy to see everybody's coming out through that okay, and they're continuing on playing the sport that they love. You know, I would tend to think that the first time get back on the bus after that happens, the apprehension and the out-and-out fear has to be incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of liken them to, you know, finishing their season, you know, going ahead and playing football. To, you know, when Andre, you know, had his tragedy here, you know, last month, where it's at a certain point, football becomes therapeutic. You leave everything stressful off, that has nothing to do with football. You leave that off the field. You come out there and you just zone out and play a game you love for 3.5-4 hours.
Right.
And I think if they hadn't finished that, if they had chose not to, you know, play this season, I think it would have hurt them, the players, more than it helped. You know, I would think it would have hurt them more than it helped, because football is a distraction. You can leave everything and focus on the game, and then, you know, then you go back out to the real world and then you deal with everything. But it's just that, you know, that 60 minutes of football is just therapeutic for people.
Couldn't agree more, Lon. We're going to go on and get out of here tonight, give you a little overview of what's going on at Saturday and in the next few weeks here on the Michigan Regional Sport Network. Don't forget tomorrow night, Cup Check with Ray Clark. That will be on 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central Time here on MRSN. Saturday will be the Admirals traveling to Royal Oak to play the Motor City Soldiers. The pregame show sponsored by Genesee Valley Gold Diamond and Gold Silver and Diamond will be on at 6:45 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:45 Central. We kick off at 7, 6 Central here on MRSN. Don't forget also that U of M Flint football is coming to MRSN. First game broadcast scheduled to be September 20th against the Miami, Ohio Redhawks. We'll have I'm getting feedback and a half on here. We'll have a time for you soon enough, and we'll let you know exactly what time will be on the air on September the 20th. And one last thing that we have on our table that we haven't brought up yet. Last year we did a high school football game of the week every week, and and that was a lot of fun. This year we're going to approach this a little different. We're going to be following one school all season long. We're going to be following Flint Carmen Ainsworth all season long, from beginning to end during the regular season. You can check at the bottom of our webpage at mrsn.us and get the schedule and the times for Carmen Ainsworth Cavaliers football. And I'm sure it's going to be Mr. Turner that's going to be doing the John Madden stuff for that.
Color commentator.
Well, you'd be the biggest colored commentator.
Yeah, colored commentator.
Yeah, for sure. Any last comments, guys?
Nope. Everybody come to practice tomorrow.
Yes, sir. I have a quick comment, and then we're going to get out of here. In fact, it's not a comment. It's a word of advice. Men, be sure to lock your woman's purses up before you go to bed at night. Especially if she's mad at you.
Oh, boy.
You don't do that. You don't get drunk and say, I'm gonna leave you and then go to sleep.
Nah, if you going to tell your woman that it's done, it's over with, she got to kick rocks, do not stay in the same building. Leave the city. The county, the state, just get away as far, much distance as possible.
I agree.
She's going to be mad.
And with that, we are going to take off for today. Thanks for listening tonight, and thanks to Andrew Hilliker, the Director of Media Relations for the Football Club at the University of Michigan, Flint, for coming on tonight and talking about his program. And we are going to see you guys next week. Don't forget to listen to the Admirals and the Soldiers on Saturday starting at 6:45. Bill, Lon, it's been real. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Goodbye now.
All right. Take it easy, everyone, and have a good night. We'll see you next week on the locker room.
And WTV 10 this summer. Hard-hitting action from the United States Football Alliance is as close as your computer or television. Join the play-by-play team of Bill Schnorenberg and Jeff Decker for every play as the Admirals make a run at the 2009 USFA title. For schedule and ticket information, visit the Admirals website at www.michiganadmirals.com. Admirals Football on MRSN and WTV 10, where champions play.
University of Michigan Flint football is coming to the Michigan Regional Sports Network this fall. Join us on September 20 as the Flint version of the Maize and Blue faces the Miami Redhawks. Other scheduled games include Alma College, Wright State, and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Join us September 20 as UM Flint faces Miami live on the Michigan Regional Sports Network, your Maize and Blue radio network.
How much do you think your gold is worth?
About $300, $250.
Genesee Valley Gold and Silver will give you $1,000. Know what your gold is really worth. For more immediate cash, come to Genesee Valley Gold and Silver in Flint, Owosso, and Lapeer.
Paul's Pipe and Tobacco Shop, serving Flint for over 65 years with the largest selection of pipes in the state. Paul's also has a large selection of premium cigars and machine-made cigars. They even blend their own tobacco. Paul's also has accessories for pipes and a large selection of lottery. Opens from 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, Saturday 9 to 5, 647 Saginaw Street, downtown Flint. Call 810-235-0581. Paul's Pipe and Tobacco Shop, serving Flint for over 65 years at 647 South Saginaw Street.
Yeah. 25,000 mornings, give or take, is all we humans get. We spend them on treadmills, we spend them in traffic, and if we get lucky, really lucky, it dawns on us to go spend them in a world where a simple sunrise can still be magic. 25,000 mornings. Make sure some of them are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
We got everything, right? Face paint?
Check.
Jersey?
Got it.
Grill and burgers?
Yep.
Cooler?
Come on.
Designated driver?
Whoops.
Before you head out to watch your favorite NFL team, make sure you pass your car keys to the designated driver. Make the right call when it comes to getting home safely. Sign up at the designated driver booth at the stadium and remember, always buckle up. You could be following your team to the Super Bowl. This message is provided as a public service by this station and Team Coalition.
Telly's Family Dining has three ways to serve you the best food in Flint. You can dine in, carry out, or go through the drive-thru. They're open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. with a $2.99 breakfast special every day and breakfast served till 11. They also have a full dinner and breakfast menu, which includes six different burgers, as well as sandwiches, Southwestern-style dishes, pitas, Italian, and Greek specialties, plus seafood and 99-cent conies. Call 810-720-8110 or stop by at 3459 Miller Road in Flint.